next Texans training camp. Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back. Shout out to old Big Cooper Hummel in the building as he goes deep and adds to the Astros lead. 6-1 now, the Astros lead here in the bottom of the sixth, and they still have runners on to add to this lead as they are looking to take care of business with the Washington Nationals. Coming off of that 5-game losing streak, they are looking to add on here and take this series after dropping the first game. So that is the latest there with the Astros as they lead 6-1 there in the bottom of the sixth at home at the Daikin Park. All right, Clint, you're out there today. Yesterday, I know you kind of made a little buzz. I heard the fellas on In the Loop talking about it. Obviously, we talked about it yesterday about C.J. Stroud, and the big point for you was just his overall reps and how much action and work he's getting, which is a little abnormal for how much a starting quarterback, especially installing a new offense, gets. What about today overall? Because I've heard it was a bit of a rough day for, I know, the offense, but overall for CJ, what would be your evaluation from what you saw from the quarterback today?
Well, look, I mean, when you're talking quarterback play, I think there's a lot going on around the quarterback. So to be fair, it was ugly around the quarterback. But I think as we look at just the quarterback play, I will say in response to my report yesterday about CJ Stroud and appearing to be, I couldn't put my finger on it, but something being off, the rep count today was, I would say, still left a lot to be desired, but a little bit more even. That we did see a deep ball as well, so I don't think there's any reason to be concerned based on what we saw today from a rep count and again, we finally saw a deep ball thrown. So that was good. Davis Mills was not good. He threw two interceptions in eight reps in a team period. And then he came back and had some later team periods, but in those first eight, it was really ugly. So the quarterback play overall, I don't think was real impressive today. But there were some things I think that we can look into based on past conversations and see a little bit of a silver lining. But today, look, overall, I think was not good. C.J. Stroud, in a team period, in two different team periods, there was eight total reps in two team periods. Six passes were called, and I think there's probably three or four sacks involved there. And so that was ugly. And then, as I mentioned, the two interceptions. So, if we're just looking at quarterback play, it was the pieces around it weren't real pretty today, and the overall quarterback play I think was probably a little bit suspect.
And it sounds like what you're saying, Clint, is a lot of what he dealt with last year. And that's early in camp, clearly. But, as you said, it wasn't great around him. It wasn't pretty around him. The pass protection broke down a lot that had him on the move. And this feels like, Clint, potentially, especially depending on what their run game looks like, which we really don't know yet.
Yeah.
That this is going to be a lot of life where he is a lot of life for him this year, that he is going to be under pressure and having to make throws in tight windows and get the ball out early, and teams are probably going to play tighter. This hopefully not, but this feels like this may be a lot of what the passing game looks like for them.
Yeah, look, I mean, you hope, because I've said this a million times. I mean, once you start game planning for defenses, then you hope there's some creative screens, there's some creative quicks. Sure, there's shots and there's aggressive throws down the field, but really, to me, where offensive coordinators make their money and they make their hay and they really kind of separate themselves is, can you create opportunities behind the line of scrimmage, or can you create opportunities within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage?
Yeah.
I think we'll find out if Nick Caley can do those things. Right now, everything is pretty vanilla. I go back to, it's so hard to install an offense. It's so hard. Like, you asked me about C.J. Stroud, Ron. I saw in the first two team periods, You know, I saw C.J. Stroud take 8 reps. 6 of them were passes. 3 or 4 of them he was pressured. What does that leave? Like, how do you evaluate that? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. we can look and say, well, there was a good throw to Dalton Schultz. Yeah, but he would have been sacked, you know, 2 seconds before he threw the ball to Dalton Schultz. So that's all great. Hell, I know C.J. Stroud can throw the ball on the run. But when you look, you got 8 reps. And there was 20 total reps in those 2 team periods. C.J. Stroud got 8 of them. 6 passes, 3 to 4 pressures, 2 runs. I mean, you're left trying to evaluate and having a good clean install period, install rep with 2 or 3. So, you know, that's where we're at right now with the quarterback playing with C.J. Stroud. You're spot on, though. I mean, it's one of those that it's with C.J., he ends up doing the best he can, and he ends up doing a lot of what he did last year during games in camp. But how do you navigate that as an install versus during the regular season? We'll see.
Well, it is really interesting the last 2 days, right? The last 2 days, and again, this offensive line and pass protection, the hope is will grow and will improve and get better and maybe not have guys like this bearing down their throats every game like Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter and the gang. But it does. It is interesting. Yesterday they had some success. It was probably the best day for the offense, and a lot of it was around short passes, 3-step drops, timing, getting it out quick. And then today it seems as if they tried to push the ball down the field a little bit more. They tried to go more than just getting it out immediately or quick stuff. And what happened today was belts to asses, as they were saying on that defense. And it does wonder, is that how this team is going to have to run offense in the passing game? Again, we don't know what the run game looks like, and play action could be big off of that. But is this team, in order to throw the football effectively, have to be a team that has to rely on the quick passing game and not downfield stuff because they can't hold up in pass protection?
Well, look, I think there's going to be, let's just say this O-line is mediocre, right? There's going to be half the season. So you're looking at, you know, 8 or 9 games where you can do whatever the hell you want to do. The reality of it is with this Texans offense is what, and with Nick Caley, and the bar is set at 10 wins, second round of the playoffs. So it's going to come down to, you know, what do you do against the better defenses in the league when Nico Collins can't immediately win 1-on-1 and Christian Kirk can't immediately win versus man? How does the play caller make a difference there and create an opportunity there, right? I mean, that's really what this team, I would say the standard, what the expectations are for this team. Right now, we're talking about installing an offense and kind of what are we going to look like, the base, and who's going to be the answer, and how are you going to run the football, and what's the base pass game going to look like, and are you going to be able to pass protect? In reality, the expectations are going to be versus those better teams creating opportunities. So we're nowhere close to that yet, but the with what we're seeing in camp, it's about can Nick Caley, C.J. Stroud, Nico Collins, can they have enough success in the midst of trying to install some stuff in the frustration, and can they have enough success to keep this the dauber up, if you will, to keep the confidence up, if you will?
Let me ask you this, because you've said this a couple of times, and I think there's some people who also are wondering what the difference is. You've spoken a lot about, all right, they're not game planning. In specific to what we are watching them struggle with in training camp right now, a lot of it is protection, especially today and most of the days. How much would you say game plan for a specific defense can change and help what they're struggling with right now?
Well, I'll say this. I don't know how much it can, because I don't know Cam Robinson and Ariante Ursary or Blake Fisher. I don't know what level they're going to be able to play at come season time. I have no idea. right? But I can I'll say this, that a lot of what I'm seeing, which is, this is a positive, right? For all the fans out there, this is a positive. What I'm seeing from a distance at practice, I'm seeing the pocket collapse from the tackle position. I'm not seeing a ton of penetration from the inside, a ton of swing and miss from the inside like we saw last year. I'm seeing the quarterback getting at his depth and the tackles, boom, meeting at the quarterback, right? So I'm seeing tackle struggle, which is to me, I'm okay with. If I'm D'Amico Ryans, I'm watching, I'm going, okay, Nick Caley, fix it, right? If you're sitting back there and you're D'Amico Ryans and you're watching your guards get their ass kicked and your tackles can't figure it out and they can't handle a TE twist, then you're like, well, I don't know exactly what to do here. I don't know if I do. I want to talk to the O-line coach? Do I want to talk to the offensive coordinator? Do I want to talk to the tight ends coach? Do I want to talk to the running backs coach? What I'm seeing right now is tackles kind of collapsing and tackles being overwhelmed, right? And with that being the case, it's like, okay, Nick Caley, get your tight ends, get your running backs involved. Let's chip this thing. Let's keep them off balance. Let's do some things to slow down this pass rush. I think that is the answer of what I'm seeing right now, which you're not going to, obviously, the Texans aren't going to do that in training camp. They're not going to game plan the Texans defense. But to me, I would say on the confident side or the less concerned side of it, because I do think it's more of your normal NFL problems dealing with edge pressure than it is, boy, this protection just stinks.
Yeah. I think that's I just wanted you to explain kind of that point of why you've kind of harped to they're not game planning yet for people to kind of get that understanding of how different that would look.
Well, you're looking at, Ron, we're looking at a defense here where you don't come into a game against this defense and you know, openly, let's say you don't come into this game against the Texans, offenses aren't going to come in and go, hey, man, we're just going to impose our will on this defense.
Yeah.
They may in the run game, they may just say, we're going to run this thing through the tackles downhill and we're going to dictate to them the tempo of this game. But when you game plan for the Texans, you're game planning, you're going, okay, how are we going to handle these two ends? All right. We got to always know where Derek Stingley is. All right. Now we got to always know where Kalen Bullock is, right? So this is one of those top tier defenses where the preparation for said defense is a little bit different than just, we're going to come in and, you know, we're gonna do what we do. So I just don't think that the Texans off, again, they're trying to install. They're not trying to game plan, which is a problem in itself.
Yeah. No. We'll see, man. CJ had a tough day along with the offense, and they get a day off, and hopefully we start to see some more movement and improvement. By the way, Clint, Jaden Higgins, obviously he was the top pick for the Texans in this year's draft. We hear a lot about Jalen Noel, his teammate, not just his teammate with the Texans, but his teammate at Iowa State. We've heard a lot about him, and you've talked about it yourself. The ball seems to find him. He has jumped out. I've heard Brandon Scott talk about he's jumped off the field with they're not in pads and when they are in pads in every way. Not hearing as much about Jaden Higgins, what's your thought and what you're seeing from a guy that I think they really expect big things from this year?
Well, I've said it before. I think Jaden Higgins is a guy that a year from now could be a monster big play guy for the Texans. I don't think he's a guy that's going to be a volume catch guy. Right. I mean, I don't see how he fits in this offense of a guy that's going to have, you know, 60, 70, 80 catches. I mean, he is if they overplay the run game, if they overplay Nico Collins, let's throw a 50-50 ball and see if we can take advantage and really swing field position. He's not a guy to me, Ron, that's going to go out there and he's going to be first in a bunch of progressions, run these whip routes and these stutter routes and these underneath routes that are more of your ball control type routes that I think this offense is going to consist of, right? I just think he's more of a young potential big play guy than he
big
is.
Big play guy, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, than he is a and the problem is if there were no Nico Collins, then you could expect more from him. But the reality of it is you've got an outside receiver that's going to be a go-to guy, right? in Nico Collins. And then you've got Christian Kirk and even Noel and even Tank Dell when he comes back. They're going to be more of your underneath settling zones, you know, types of guys that are going to be high volume. I think somebody in that group, if not just one of them, is going to be your higher volume, you know, 100 catch guy in this system. I don't know where Higgins fits in that mix more so than just a threat down the sideline from time.
Yeah, I was going to say potential, you know, fade, back shoulder throws. Yes. We've seen
red
that
zone,
a lot.
Red zone specific.
Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Now, he's a big target over the middle. There's no doubt about it. They like him on them in-cutting routes, and he's a big target. But, again, you've got that in Nico, and you're going to be run heavy, and you're going to be ball control. And so how do you fit in that mid-range to deep pass threat in Higgins? How do you fit that in to make a huge difference this year? I don't see it being a big plus early on. Maybe late, but not early on.
All right. It is Wednesday, so that means we do a little stock up, stock down. And yes, we are knee deep in training camp. Stock up, stock down, training camp edition. You can text in on YouTube and Twitch or 713-572-4610. Text in your stock up, stock down right now. We'll do that coming up next right here live on The Drive.
Tootski, come on. Mm-hmm.
Every football season brings highs.
Yes! Rock and roll!
And lows.
Every week, though, there's no excuse for that.
Oh, no.
It's time to buy or sell.
I tell him to sell!
It's Texans Stock Up, Stock Down on The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
I'm going to pump those numbers up. Those are rookie numbers in this racket.
All right, let's get it in. A little stock up, stock down. I'm seeing already from the text line, stock down, this damn heat. Is someone text in? Yeah, I can hear you on that one. But we are sticking to training camp. It is training camp, 7 days, 7 practices in the book, stock up, stock down. And as Tyler would do, let's start with the kick in the nuts. How about it, Clint? You're stock down when it comes to Texans training camp thus far.
Ooh, stock down in Texans training camp thus far. Ron, it's hard to go anywhere other than the offensive line. And I'm going to go with one that may be a little trivial to folks. I'm going to go with Cam Robinson.
Mm.
At, what is it, $14 million a year here?
Yep.
I expected Cam Robinson to be treated along the same lines of Lakin Tomlinson and Titus Howard at the guard position. And maybe he is. Maybe I'm overvaluing the rotation that we're seeing. But I thought he was the plug-and-play left tackle, no doubt about it. And I've heard a lot of conversations over the last couple of weeks about, hey, you know, what does this look like? Is it Blake Fisher at right tackle? Is it Cam Robinson at left tackle? Ariante Ursery can do both. Is he a swing tackle? Where is he going to play? I'll go with Cam Robinson on the offensive side of the ball in a sense of I just expected to have 3 offensive line spots,
yeah,
you know, just chalked up, Ron. This is the way it is, and I'm not real sure that is the case. It may be just – I may just be responding to this heavy rotation that is just how Nick Caley and D'Amico Ryans want to do things, which I hope that's the case, but it's been interesting kind of how that left tackle position has been handled since Laremy Tunsil has left.
Yeah, Champ Slice ducking in with the same thing. He says, can we do stock down on Blake Fisher, or is he where he was supposed to be projected? I would say the stock down is for Blake Fisher. It seemed like he was in the mix coming in, and not just in the mix. Now he doesn't get first-team reps at all, and, hell, he's out here getting yanked after he has a false start. Yeah. So, no, I think the stock is down on Blake Fisher. I think that's a
look. I mean, we're going. I mean, I went Cam Robinson. You're going, I'm assuming, Blake Fisher. I mean, you're going tackles, and I think when you look at this thing, it seems like the struggles, as I said earlier, and this is really a positive observation, but I mean, some may take it negative. It seems like the struggles in the protection category for the Texans, as far as what I've seen, are coming from the tackle position. right? And it's coming from the pocket collapsing from the outside in. And so no surprise, Cam Robinson and Blake Fisher are on the radar of this stock down thing we got going on.
Yeah, I'll let Champ have Blake Fisher. I'm going to go stock down Dameon Pierce. I am very
– That's easy.
I don't know what the injury is. Do we even know? I don't know what the injury is. As you said, he may be working on stuff. He's not even getting, you know, mental reps because I don't think he's even been out there. And there's an opportunity of something. Joe Mixon's going to be out for all of training camp. And it really seems like, let's just be honest, now that we have all of everything we can see right now, ever since his season ended year one, I mean, it's been not just a disappointment, but a grave disappointment. I know some of it is injury stuff, but it is bad.
Yep.
And you said it yesterday when we did Real or Fake. I cannot believe he has not practiced, not one time or even been seen out there one time. Obviously, we don't know the extent of what it is, but his stock is way down.
I like it, man. I mean, I think there's several guys in a sense of that backup role that you expected to take that next step. Dameon Pierce, I think you can throw John Metchie in there. You know, there's guys that boy you just expected to be available, and so we could at least see if they were able to take the next step, and they hadn't rose to the occasion or they haven't even been present. So yeah, I'm with you on that. The stock is definitely down on DP.
All right, I'll go stock up. My stock up here, Clint, as we do stock up training camp edition, you can text in your stock ups and stock downs. Clint, mine is Christian Kirk. The way that it looks like this team is going to run offense and the successful way they're going to run offense, man, he gonna catch a lot of balls if he stays healthy. He is going to be a guy in the middle of the field that is a first read, second read, safety valve. I mean, he may have 90 catches or more with how quickly they're getting the ball out to him and how quickly this offense is getting the ball. And he's a good player when healthy, was good in Jacksonville in this role when he was healthy, and I think it can continue to be good as well here. So my stock up is with Christian Kirk.
I like Christian Kirk. My stock up is a tough one for me. I think the obvious one is Kalen Bullock this far in camp. We've talked about that multiple times, so I won't take the low-hanging fruit there. Yeah. I'm going to go to the tight end position, Ron, and I really want to go with Cade Stover because he has been a real – not surprised, but it's been fun to watch him kind of develop here. But I'm going to go with Brevin Jordan. We've known the kind of athlete that he is, the explosive athlete that he is. But I'm going to be honest with you. I've watched a couple of reps, and it hadn't happened a lot, but I've watched a couple of reps where Brevin Jordan is not afraid to stick his head in there. Brevin Jordan isn't afraid to get physical and give everything he's got to pass protect on the end or kick an end out in a run scheme. And then you add to that him going to the podium a couple of days ago and talking about, you know, no, I mean, that's our job is to be able to pass protect against a defensive end, to be able to get to the second level and block a linebacker. Like, the fact that I've seen him do it a couple of times and then he was willing to talk about it in his presser, I got to go my stock up with Brevin Jordan, man. I'm excited about what this kid brings to the offense.
And I can't remember. I think it was Lopez. It might have been Vandermeer. But I believe it was Lopez to the physical point. It looks like he has increased his weight. He's gotten bigger. Just by walking past him and seeing him, he looks like he has gotten bigger as well. So right. that is a help.
It's a small sample size, and it's just flashes here and there. But whether it's me watching practice and seeing him being willing to buck Will Anderson or be willing to buck a defensive end or whoever it is in the whether it's a pass protection game or kicking out in the run game. And then I'm going to tell you where else he's jumped is we've always known he's a great athlete, but today he catches a ball over across the field from us. And in practice, you could just kind of coast out of bounds if you wanted to, especially if you're more of a finesse player that plays with speed kind of deal. But he delivered a blow before he went out of bounds. There's a willingness to be physical there with Brevin Jordan that I just don't remember in the past.
Yeah.
And so that stock up, I think, is real with him.
All right, we'll get you caught up on what the Astros are doing as they are opening things up on the Nationals. We'll get you updated on that. And maybe the most important thing, they won last night, and they're looking to win two in a row, but the most important thing we'll let you know about. That's coming up next right here live on The Drive.
It's Texans Training Camp, live from the Mokerum Injury Lawyer Studio. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Here's Yiner Diaz.
Yiner drives one high. He drives one deep. Forget about it. Three-run home run, Yiner Diaz. The Astros separating this game. It's 9-1.
Yiner trying to tap that train with that Yiner bomb.
What was that blow?
Trying to tap that damn train, baby.
Trying to tap that what?
Trying to tap that train is what old Jeff Blum said. And he damn near did, man. He damn near hit that thing to Frank's Pizza.
Hitting up on them tracks, baby.
Yeah, he drilled that bad boy. And that's one of three homers today. Altuve led it off with his 18th. He went deep for a three-run shot. And they've all been they've all had runners on. Three-run shot from Altuve, two-run shot from Cooper Hummel, and then that one you just heard there, Yiner, drives in two with Dubon on in front of him for a two-run homer. And now it is 9-1. 9-1 in the ninth inning, and they are two outs away from getting a win today and a series win over the Washington Nationals before they head out and take a look at the Boston Red Sox this weekend. But exactly what they needed after losing game one of this series. They go ahead and looks like they will take this series. We'll keep you updated and abreast and have you ready when the Astros win this sucker. And they're leading 9-1 right now in the ninth inning. They won yesterday, Clint. That is absolutely the case. I also believe, Clint, the biggest thing we saw yesterday, and obviously we'll see what happens with the trade deadline because Dana Brown is clearly on the phone getting after it, and we should probably be hearing some news here in the next 27 hours. But the most important thing I think we saw last night, Clint, was what happened with Sugar Land, and that is Jeremy Pena. He went 0-for-2, but he scored two runs. He got hit by a pitch, had a walk, and was moving around and rolling around and looking like he's ready. Clint, to me, 0-for-2, I don't care if he had two strikeouts. That part's not a big deal. It is. How did you feel when you swung? How was it? He got on base. He ran around. He scored a couple of runs. I would hope that he is on the next road trip.
Yeah, look, I didn't watch it, but I
didn't either.
If we're talking about, really, I guess straining the ribs, the obliques, the rotational ability, strike out a couple times. I mean, unless he just stood there and watched strikes, as long as he was hacking and missing and taking some cuts, strike out a few times. We'll really see if that rotation is there. And so I have zero concerns about the strikeouts. I'm with you, Ron. It just active in a game. Get some cuts and let's get to Daikin Park. Let's get to the big league. Let's get to the major league roster here for Pena. I don't know what else we've got to prove.
Yeah. And it's got to be, you would think, getting close to that. And again, like, it doesn't matter if he went 0-for-5, right? Mm-hmm. It's more, how is he feeling? Because, you know, he went, and Clint and Tyler, and maybe I'm off my ass a little bit here. I can't believe I'm saying this. You wouldn't have told me this 3 months ago. But he's as important as anybody they have on this injured list to get back.
Hold on, so.
He's as important as anybody. And I know that's Jordan, that's some of the pitching with the issues they have, with guys injured. But Jeremy Pena this year has just been everything for them.
It's a panty dropper.
And that leadoff spot. And he's just done a little bit of everything. He's shown some power. He has shown some speed. And obviously he plays a premium defensive position. And many of you are complaining about, old Short, which I think he's been all right. But he is one of the players out there that they need.
Absolutely,
they got to have him.
Absolutely, Ron. I agree. I think at first glance, I think some people probably sat back in their chair and thought, wait a minute, we're Jordan's out there. Yeah, I mean, look, Jordan is obviously one of the best hitters in the bigs, but there's a defensive element to Jeremy Pena that
and a
changes.
Speed element.
Yes, that's where I was going with it. Like to me, I mean, not only is he his slash line significantly better this year, although Jordan was a small sample size, not comparing the two, but the ability to manufacture, the ability to find a way to get on when he's not necessarily swinging it well, and then you get on and your ability to steal second base and get in scoring position. Yeah, look, I think, you know, maybe not to make a championship run, because I think Jordan's probably a little bit bigger in a sense of being able to make a World Series run. But if you're just talking about rattling off some wins and giving this lineup a little bit more of a boost in terms of creating some action on the base pass and bringing something to the table that will move the needle immediately, I'm with you on Pena.
Yeah. Hopefully they get him back soon. And if he's doing that, I would imagine he is back on this road trip coming up. So big for him. And who knows? Who knows? He could be coming back and playing with Carlos Correa next to him. That which would be crazy to think both of them would be there, right? And he would be the one playing shortstop and not Correa, which is interesting to potentially see. But Jeremy Pena, I think even with the win yesterday, him getting out there feeling good, not having any problems, scoring a couple of runs, running around there, as you said, swinging. I don't think he don't seem like a take pitches, take strikes type of strikeout guy. He seems like a swing and miss strikeout guy.
Well,
like
I hope he got a few really good cuts at that. Low and outside breaking pitch that he's
really falls in love with. By the way, if you're wondering where he got hit, a little grazed his arm right there. So nothing real serious. I watched the pitch; it barely nicked him there. So he's getting closer. And like, this is different than Jacob Melton coming back. This is different than some of the other guys, Chaz coming back. This is obviously one of your major, major pieces coming back. All right, Clint, before we get to Dirty's Daily, again, who knows what the hell is going on with the Dallas Cowboys. Clint, talks between the Cowboys and linebacker Micah Parsons have gone backwards, apparently. And
there it was. Glory hole.
And right now, Clint, the two sides have gone backwards, not forwards. Adam Schefter has added, I don't think they're speaking very much these days, if at all. These negotiations, when it was a negotiation, had gone sideways. It's not a negotiation right now. There's really no conversation about a deal getting done. And he's been out there at practice since they've had training camp. I just don't – Stevens come out there, probably said some odd things like, well, the player's got to want to sign. This is just wild to me. What in the world is happening, Clint? Because we know the numbers. We know what T.J. Watt just signed for. Like, this seems to be very, very easy that they shouldn't be going round and round and looking like this right now, but that's what the Cowboys seem to do.
Yeah, it's what they seem to do. I would like to think that they're, whether you agree or disagree, that there's some level of method to the madness. Kind of like what I thought was going to happen with Dak Prescott, and then like the last minute they give him $60 million a year. Like this deal with Micah Parsons, whether you like it or you don't, or you agree with it or you don't, it would make sense if they would just say, to hell with it, we're not going to pay you, we're going to try to trade you, or we're going to, like, you don't have to agree with it, but like that would, like, the last thing that you would do is hold out until the last day of training camp and then pay the guy.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like it's just, the wildest thing is, it seems like the one thing that makes zero sense is what the Cowboys end up doing.
And Clint, with him deciding to just go to camp,
yeah,
and not sit it out the way that Trey Hendrickson has done. By the way, he's decided to come back, or the way that others around the league have done and are doing, trying to get a contract. Terry McLaurin, another one. He's gone. He's there. So, I mean, it's not like it's a, all right, man, I'm just holding the hell out. And then Schefter saying there's not even negotiation. They're not even talking. How? What could be the haggle? You know what the price is. You've backed yourself in the corner to wait until everybody but Trey Hendrickson signed. We know the number. He's going over T.J. Watt. Now, unless Micah's out here trying to get $10 million more than T.J. Watt, which I don't think is happening, or he would be sitting his ass at home, I just don't. This makes absolutely no sense that this thing is going this long. And I know you've always said this, Clint. This feels more than just the, hey, man, Jerry wants to keep that star in the news.
Like, this no question.
This seems
more than that.
Yeah, this
don't
seems...
Don't tell me what I'm saying.
I could not believe Steven came out there and said to those people, those cameras, yeah, hell, players got to want to sign too. What are you talking about? The hell's he out there for? What are you talking about?
Hey!
There it is.
Yep.
Strohs
did it, baby.
Strohs did it, got a W. They win 9-1, beat the hell out of the Washington Nationals. Big power day. And at the Daikin Park, ice cubes flying all over the place as Altuve goes deep, Hummel goes deep, Yiner Diaz for the second straight day. Yiner, he's coming on now. He hit a homer yesterday, hit one again today. He goes deep as well, 9-1. Ryan Gusto, six innings, one earned run, five strikeouts, one walk. He was really, really good today. And the bullpen closes it down as the Astros, they win this series. And kind of get things back together after that five-game losing streak they had. They will head to Boston now, but they get a dub here against the Nationals, big time.
Am I crazy, or did Big Hummel did he produce again today?
Big Hummel, yeah, he hit a two-run bomb, baby.
Big Hum, that's 2 days in a row he's producing, man. He's trying to hold down a spot, ain't he?
Hey, they know it's coming now. They know these people are starting to get here.
Trade deadline, guys getting healthy. Deadline. Pressure's on, baby.
Yeah, they're people out there, them guys holding their fingers crossed. No outfielders.
That's great.
No outfielders. All right, Clint, what you got coming up at the four?
All right, Texas fans, I got a C.J. Stroud report that you're going to like a little bit more than that one that I gave you yesterday, right? So stay plugged in right here on Sports Radio 60, and that C.J. report is next.
It's a celebration. Well, the Astros won today.